Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for these people that'll come out on a Thursday night because they're hungry for you, God. People in America don't do things like this. This is weird to America. You know that, Lord. But they do it, Lord, when they're hungry. So, Father, they'll not be helped if they hear me. They'll only be helped if they hear your voice. Lord, let them hear the voice of the Good Shepherd tonight. And let them understand, Lord, that your own, everything you say to them is for their good. Everything you say to them is for their blessing. And everything you say to them, Lord, is to increase and speed up their journey on the path that you have called them to, so that when they finish their life, they can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. That they may say, I have apprehended that for which I was apprehended by Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing of the teacher tonight, that you make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth your mind with simplicity, easy to understand. Father, I thank you for anointing the ears of the hearers, that they may hear what the Spirit is saying to them in a simple way, Lord, where they can put it into practice, for you're not religious at all. You're very practical. You know exactly what needs to be done in every person's life, and I thank you that you give them information that they need. And then, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that even while we're here, Lord, even while we're in your presence, you're working within the hearts and minds of every believer, making us all stronger, conforming us more and more into the image of your dear Son, and unifying our hearts as one, that we may walk as one man serving our King. For all of these things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Now, before we even start tonight, I've got to lead you all in a few confessions. You notice I haven't handed out your papers yet, and there's a reason for that. Now, everyone say with me, I love Gary Carpenter. Say, Gary Carpenter did not write the Bible.
It's not his fault.
I will love Gary Carpenter after the lesson is over. Hallelujah. Now I'll give you your papers. I'm going to turn this off just for a few minutes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and continue while we're passing these out. I don't know very many places you can go to a Bible study or a church. Maybe at Rhema they teach things, or an actual minister's type training college. They might teach things like this. Because a lot of this tonight's not going to seem very churchy. You know what I mean by that? Although it is very much the mind of Christ. And especially for any of you that feel the call to full-time ministry, I think this is one of the most valuable lessons you'll ever get in your life. I'm going to be telling you about some of my failures and some of the things that I did wrong and that I didn't do wrong in the course of this. And before we even get started, I mean, most of y'all in here know that I don't know enough about your personal life. I don't know enough about your personal finances to aim a message at you. You know what I'm saying? I've just got this from the Holy Ghost. And some people, there's going to be certain parts of it that's going to speak to them. And in other people, there's going to be other parts that's going to speak to them. You just have to let the Holy Ghost do that. But there's nothing aimed at anybody here. You understand me? So, Gary, are you worried? Yes. Forgive me. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And for the benefit of those listening to this tape, the snapping you're hearing are people putting their lessons in their ring binders. We're not playing castanets. Hallelujah. Really, this lesson tonight, most of the time whenever you go to church and they talk about money, it's normally in the context of giving, isn't that right?
That's right.
Giving and receiving, tithes and offerings and that kind of thing. But the Bible has so much more to say about the handling of money, the righteous handling of finances, than just that. But those things are seldom ever taught. To be honest with you, I think I didn't learn most of these things that we're going to talk about tonight in church. I learned them at home. I mean, bless my parents, you know, they're good. I got a good Baptist mama and daddy. They're Baptist to the bone, you know. But thank God for them. I mean, they taught me a lot about righteous handling of money growing up. And I'm finding out now in ministry that a lot of people didn't have that same advantage. They just didn't have it. So, you know. So, with all of that, okay, we're just going to dive in. I'm going in where angels fear to tread now. So, here we go. Hallelujah. The title tonight is called His Grace and Our Faithfulness. Before we even start reading, let me say this. The battle that I've had, and I think a lot of people have, when you're trying to live, you know, the just shall live by faith, right?
Right.
Everything we get from God, we get by grace free, right?
Right.
Okay? Yeah. See, but right on the other hand, God watches our faithfulness. How many of y'all know that if He called me to do this on Thursday nights, and then about half the Thursdays I just didn't bother to show up, He's not very likely to promote me to do something else if I haven't been faithful to do this. You understand what I'm saying? If I didn't pray and spend the time that it takes to prepare the lessons and do the things necessary, Jesus is very much like any other boss you ever worked for. When He gives you an assignment, He expects you to be faithful and to carry that out and do it to the best of your ability. And He'll watch you. And if you're faithful and do that, then He'll promote you to something else. I mean, when I was working in the world for Union Carbide, if they gave me an assignment as an engineer to do, and I went and I did it and did a good job, and I continued to do that, after a while I'd get a promotion. Well, it's very much like that in the kingdom of God. I can tell you right now, if I was to quit praying, if I was just to quit doing my own what He's told me to do in my own personal prayer life, I quit praying, I quit making my confessions, I quit studying and preparing for the Bible study, He'll fire me. I'll be out of the ministry. Quiet in here. Jesus is not religious at all. He's just that real. He's as real as any employer you ever had. We are all in, I like to call it God and Sons Incorporated. God the Father owns it. Jesus is Lord over it. He's steward over everything. So we're, and all of, He's the head of the church, and all of us are in the church, so we all basically report to Him. Okay, again, we'll do our Lord check. Now, who is Lord?
Jesus.
So we do what He says, right? Okay, with that much of an introduction, let's start here. We're trying to learn the balance between grace and see, now you can get into works, which violates grace. That's not good. We're not talking about that. We're talking about truly operating in grace, but then there's a faithfulness part on our part. Okay, here we go. By God's mercy, He has saved us from death, hell, and all the power of the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. By His grace, He has adopted us into His own family and has made us to be sons and daughters of God. He did all of this for us through the perfect work of His Son, Jesus Christ. We did not deserve it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We could not earn it. Amen. We are the sons. We are sons and daughters of God in the service of Jesus our King. Now, each one of us has a service to perform in the kingdom of God. Whether it be in ministry, our families, our jobs, our church, etc., etc., etc. You could just keep going on. He showed me a vision the other day. Stop right there for a minute. When I was praying about the body of Christ, and in this vision, I saw what, you know, I mean, I don't know what Jesus really looks like, but I was like seeing Jesus standing there. And it was so funny because around Him, now this is weird, I mean, you pray for me, there was an ear laying on the floor over there, and there was a finger laying on the floor over there, and there was things like that. It was gross, you know, and He's going, my body on earth is very much like that. He says, a lot of my people, He says, I do not have a member in the body that does not have a function in the body, but for the most part, you know, some of them I've called to be ears. But they're not, you know, they've severed themselves from the body. They're not taking their part. Some I've called to be my hand, either in giving or comfort, but yet they've severed themselves. So for all practical purposes, they've amputated themselves from the body. It's not supposed to be like that. Every person is in the body of Christ. If you're in here, you've got a function. Now, if you're a young person in school right now, part of your function right now is to learn to be obedient to your parents, because I'm telling you right now, if you don't learn to be obedient to your parents, it's going to be very unlikely you're going to be obedient to God.
Amen.
You know, your job right now is to do good at school, to be faithful at church, be faithful in your own prayer time. Okay, we could say things like that about every person in here. Some right now have not been called to full-time ministry, so their job right now is to provide for their families. That's where your calling is right now, and that's your anointing. And at the same time, though, you continue to serve God faithfully at the church. Do whatever, you know, whatever He makes available for you to do, you do that. And the day may come when He will call you full-time, see? But again, He's watching your faithfulness where you are. But say with me,
I have
a part
to play
in the kingdom of God,
in the body of Christ.
I'm part of that body somewhere.
I may not know where it is,
but I'm in there.
Hallelujah.
Now you keep seeking God by study and prayer, and the day will come you'll know what your part is. Right now I'm a mouth. Can y'all tell I'm a mouth? That's my part. That's what I do more than anything else. Okay. Hallelujah. Apparently He's going to start adding a stethoscope. Well, glory to God. He's going to use me in the healing. Well, praise God if that's what He wants. You know, if He wants me to drive the bus, I don't care. You know, serving Jesus is what it's about, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay. Each one of us has a job to perform in the kingdom of God, whether it be in ministry, our families, our jobs, our church, or whatever. Each person has been made a steward over some aspect of the kingdom. And Jesus is watching our faithfulness in our present stewardship. Now, quoting Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Now, notice the word required. When something is required, it's not optional. God says, if you're going to be a steward working for me, I require something of you. Now, here's what He requires. That a man or woman, that just means mankind, be found faithful. Faithful. If Jesus finds us faithful where we are now, He will promote us to new levels of stewardship where more responsibility is required. And I run out of paper, I could have put... Now, you need to understand, Jesus is the best manager that there ever was. I have worked for companies where they would give you more responsibility, but they would not give you the authority to go with it. Jesus is not like that. Whenever He promotes you to new responsibility, He also gives you the anointing, the authority to go with it. Hallelujah. That's free. There's no extra charge for that. But now the whole thing is, He's got to find you faithful where you are now, or He's not going to promote you. And here's a verse to show you that. It's Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. This is Jesus Himself speaking. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore, now get this, most people don't ever get this. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. What's that word mean, Gary? That means your money. If you have not been faithful in how you use money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Okay, Lord, do I have to do that? Yeah. Well, Tammy already knows about this. I'm going to tell you where I was unfaithful recently. And we let our mind, I still let my mind override God too much. And you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. At this point in our life, it's happened so many times. Like, I remember one night particular at church when things, you know, the ministry had not been going very well at that point. You know, we were still in that breaking through period. We had $138 to our name. And that night at church, he said, give 100 of it. And I've gotten to where when I hear that anymore, boy, I'll do that. Because I just know it's God. I recognized it. I knew it was Him. And we did it. And my mind gave me trouble. You need more than $38 to live, you know. You don't even have a check. I mean, you don't even have a weekly check coming in. You know, you can't live on $38, all that same stuff. But we've learned on that kind of thing to do it. Well, recently, Tammy, I'm not going to go into great detail. Let me just put it this way. She had some financial needs. Had to do with utilities at the house. And I knew she needed some money. The only thing is, I knew it was quite a bit of money. Several hundred dollars that she needed. A particular Sunday night, we were sitting behind her, Sue and I just happened to be sitting behind her at church. And right in the middle of the service, sometime in there, I heard very softly, very gently, a voice. And he only said it to me once. He said, give Tammy the contents of your wallet. Well, I opened up my wallet, and there was only $17 in there. Now, right there, I let my mind take over. I thought, that cannot be God. It's such an odd number for one thing, $17. Plus, I knew she needed hundreds. What in the world difference is $17 going to make? You know, I just flat let myself talk myself out of it, convince myself it wasn't God. Everyone say, shame, shame.
Shame, shame.
About two days later, I happened to see Tammy again. Bless her little heart. She had done everything in the natural that could be done, going to, you know, different places that help when you have problems with your utilities, and gathered up money. She was able to get the water turned on, if I remember right. And but she said, I was able to get, you know, the big one was the gas bill. We had quite a bit of money for that, and they had told her. She said, you know, it was funny. I was able to gather up a lot of money. I went to all these different places, but I just came a little short of having enough to get that turned on.
$17.
I was with fear and trembling, I'm listening to this, and I'm going, don't let it be, don't let it be, you know. And I had to ask. I said, how much short were you? $17. Is my face red? I turn about the color of these books, you know. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, here's even more scary. And this isn't really part of tonight's lesson. I don't know. Immediately, guess what I wanted to do. Now, oh, by the way, I'm telling it right. Immediately, guess what I wanted to do?
Give her the
$17. You know what the Lord said? No. He said, it's too late for you to obey me now. He said, I've already solved the problem for her. It says, delayed obedience is disobedience.
Yeah.
You can't obey me now. That opportunity is past. You just obey me next time I talk to you. Now, I would have felt I couldn't get the blessing. That time had passed. Come to find out, the Lord had given her favor, and even though she was $17 short, they turned the utilities on anyway. He had already solved the problem. But he just wanted me to cook in my own juice. I mean, I'd have felt so much better to give her. I'd have given her $50 at anything at that point just to get it off of me, because I knew I'd missed it. See. And but he said, no. You can't. It's too late to obey me now, son. Then he went ahead and gave me one other example, and I'll go ahead and share it with you. Apparently, we got time for this. He said, if I ever tell you to fix sandwiches and take them down to give them to somebody on the streets, he says, obeying me a week later won't get it done. Because he says, for all you know, that food may be the thing that keeps one of those people alive one more night. And the next day could be the day they make a decision for me, become born again. He says, that sandwich could mean the difference between eternal heaven and eternal hell for somebody. And obeying me 2 weeks later won't cut it.
Wow.
We taught a lesson here a while back called The Two Main Reasons Why Christians Don't Prosper. And just for curiosity's sake, I'll see how well y'all study. Does anyone remember the two main reasons why Christians don't prosper? Y'all remember the lesson, see? This is what I say about going back until it's become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. The two main reasons is this. Number one, they don't give what the Lord tells them to give. Secondly, they don't do it when He tells them to give it. He says obedience in giving has two parts, the amount and the timing. He says both of them are critical if you want to walk in obedience. Now, he is gentle. He will teach you to learn that. I should have known better. I've heard him so often. I should have known that was him. But I let my little old carnal mind here, because it was such a weird number, and I knew that the need was so vast, I let myself talk myself out of it. Don't do that. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And He shall direct your paths. There's no telling what kind of blessing He was wanting to bless me with based on obedience with that $17. But you know what? At this point, that's not what's so important to me. The thing that's important to me is that I obeyed Him.
Yeah.
The fact that I disobeyed Him is what hurt. And then the fact He wouldn't let me give it to her later. You know? I mean, he doesn't mind if I give her something, but I can't obey him on that one. I never will be able to. That opportunity's passed. Ow.
That was good.
Yeah. See, I don't mind being transparent with you guys, because the point of this is not for you all to think anything of me. Why are we all here? We're wanting to serve Jesus. I mean, you know, that's the only reason we're here, isn't it? We all want to serve Jesus better and better. If where I missed it can help, fine. He hardly ever lets me tell you about the times I did it, right? It seems like it's always those times I missed it he wants me to talk about. Okay, going back to that, we read Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. Now here's something most Christians just flat don't know. Again, usually from that passage, let me read it again. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the handling of money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now at that point, at most churches, the sermon right there will head towards tithes and offerings. But there's a lot more to faithfulness with money than just that. Okay, now it's the other part we're going to talk about tonight. One of the first areas that Jesus watches regarding faithfulness is to see how you handle your money. Now this is a hard statement, but it's Jesus is not in the business of promoting thieves, con artists, nor beggars in the kingdom of God. Someone might say, what do you mean, Gary? Well, thieves are wicked people, and none of us are wicked. Well, Psalms 37:21, the first part says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Now, I don't care if by God's grace you're born again, spirit-filled, and a tongue talker. If you have borrowed money and have defaulted on the loan, you know what I mean by that. You just never paid it. You defaulted on it. You are behaving wickedly. Jesus watches that kind of stuff. I mean, one of the main ways that the devil takes ministers out is because, I mean, if he can find a little crack in your finances, the way if there's just anything not quite right at all, I mean, he will smear that on national television from coast to coast and bring you crashing down. Now, you've got to learn how to handle money. You've got to learn how to do it if you think he's ever going to really call you to a ministry, you know, where money's involved. I mean, money's going to be involved. If you don't know this, let me tell you ahead of time. It takes money. It takes money. Whatever he calls you to do, it takes money. Okay? Buying tapes, last month we went through 500 tapes. Glory to God. I think that's the biggest month ever. But they don't give them to you free. They want that good old cash, you know. Hallelujah. It takes money to run it. Well, okay. Jesus is not about to promote you higher in the kingdom until you change. This principle applies to more than just actual loans. Every time you sign your name on the dotted line regarding any contractual agreement with another human being, such as an apartment lease, you know, anytime you agree to do any, utilities. When you got your utilities turned on at your house, you're basically signing, you're giving your word, I will pay for these utilities once a month. You know, I'm going to pay the bill. All right? So I'm talking about not just actual loans that you take out, but any time, you told me you just got an apartment. Somewhere in that, there was a signing of the name. Isn't that right? In fact, I've got that on here, I think. Here it is. Such as an apartment lease. When you sign that lease, you're giving your solemn word. Now, we are to imitate our Father as beloved children. He has exalted His word above His name. Do y'all know what that means? Huh? That means if His word is no good, God is no good. Now, I hate to say this. If your word is no good, you're no good. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say you're going to hell. Stop. Don't. I don't mean it that way. What I mean is you can't be trusted. Jesus is not finding you faithful in the handling of unrighteous mammon, in the handling of your money. And he watches that first. He said, that which is least. To him, money is the least. What is the real power? When God comes in and removes cancers out of people's bodies? I'd like to have some of that. I'd like promotion into more of that, wouldn't you guys? When he comes and sets the demoniac free, and they're no longer a lunatic, you know? I'd like to have some of that. Okay? He says, I watch you first in the area of your money. If you're not faithful in the handling of that which is least, money does have some power. See, but as far as God's concerned, it's the least power. But he says, if I can't trust you with how you, if you don't show me that you're faithful in the handling of money, you think I'm going to exalt you and give you the real power? You better think again. How many of y'all ever heard this preached in church before? It needs to be preached. It needs to be preached. Hallelujah. I told Sue, I said, well, one thing I know for sure after tonight, I'm not a man pleaser. You know, if all I wanted was to make all you guys happy and you know, especially if we took offerings here and I was trying to get your money, you know, this is not the kind of message you preach, okay? Right. I'm just doing what he told me. What I mean by that when I say you're no good, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He most certainly does. You're precious. He would never have sent his son to shed his blood for you. All I'm saying is, when it comes to the ministry, you can't be trusted. You can't. You haven't shown yourself faithful yet. Okay. You can forget about promotion in the kingdom until you repent, and that means change. Now, get this. In the book of Acts, when it was needful to appoint men to serve food to the widows in the Jerusalem church, Peter gave these instructions. Now, let me back up. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? They had a big church, thousands of people. The Jerusalem church is the mother church. I mean, it's a big one. And there's a lot of widows come. And so they would set up feeding lines. I guess it was similar to what we probably do on Sundays for the homeless at the prayer center, you know. But there got a dispute arose, you know. Some groups were saying, well, our widows aren't getting the proper amount of food, and you're showing partiality over here, and they're getting too much food. And so they were wanting Peter and the other apostles to come down and handle this. And Peter says, no, that's not what we're called to do. He says, we're called to stay with the word of God in prayer. But I'll tell you what, and here's what he told them. He says, wherefore, brethren, look you out or find 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, the Greek word translated honest report there, it literally means to be well reported of. But now get this, it comes from the root word which means martyr. Do y'all know what a martyr is? That's when you die for your witness for Christ. they got the lion's den, and it's full of hungry lions, and they got a hold of you about ready to shove you down in there with the hungry lions. And they're saying, all you got to do is deny that Jesus is the Lord. All you got to do is deny Jesus, and we won't throw you down there. And you say, I will not change. Jesus is Lord. Throw me down there. The next breath I take will be with Him. You know, a martyr. See, now that this word that says this word here that's translated honest report, the root word that it comes from is martyr, which means this: you would rather die than go back on your word. In the same way that man there, they'd say, all you got to do is just change what you're saying. Just go back on your testimony. Go, you know, you've been saying you're a Christian. Deny Jesus, and you'll live. And he says, throw me. I'll not change. I'd rather die. When it gets to be like that with your word, this people, you're starting to be qualified for ministry now. Do you know what level? Serving tables in the church. Many people are believing God for a mighty ministry when, according to this passage, to the Bible, they're not yet qualified to wait on tables in the church. Quiet in here. It's quiet in here. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Sign your name to a document. Like, okay, now, since Donna happened to mention to me, and Donna really loves me a lot, signed her name to a lease. How much? 6 months or a year? A year's lease. When I mean, that, those things are pretty long. It's probably 2 pages or so. It's got a lot of little small print. And when she signed her name on there, she is saying, I agree to all these terms. I am giving my solemn word that I will keep this agreement. Now, they also have their responsibilities. They're supposed to, you know, I don't know what their parts are. If the roof starts leaking, they're supposed to fix it and stuff like that. But the biggest part of it's on you, right? Okay? Now, number one, she says, I'm going to send the money every month. All right, that's one thing you said. Probably, if it's like most apartment leases, there's something on there about how many people you can legally have in that apartment. There's also probably something on there about pets. Either you can or you can't. If you can, there's probably a restriction. Now, if Donna moves in there and a month later decides she's going to move five more people in with her, that would probably be in violation of that lease, am I right? And I'm going to have two monkeys, three cats, and four dogs. That also would be in violation. That also would be in violation of the lease, right? Now, you cannot operate that way. You cannot operate that way and be found faithful. Your word means nothing. You signed your name saying, I agree to these terms. Your word means nothing. And if that's the way you're going to operate, what that really means is, we say, well, I couldn't help it. You don't understand my circumstances. That's the whole point. If that's the way you live, where you'll move off of your word based on circumstances, you're going to move off of his word based on circumstances down the line. What you're telling me, well, I didn't have any other choice, you know. We had to do it that way. What you're telling me is God has no power. I'm sorry. Y'all say, I love Gary Carpenter. Now look, y'all have heard our testimony. How does Sally do that? I've had my share of troubles. I've seen my ups and my downs, you know. Okay? I'm not saying everything's always rocky. I mean, always smooth. I mean, we've had some rocky times up and down, okay? But we're talking patterns. We're talking lifestyles. If this keeps going on and on and on, this kind of thing, year after year, something's wrong. Something is wrong, because God, when you seek Him, will change that for you. That's one reason y'all need to, you know, keep coming here. If that has been a pattern, keep coming. We're going to teach you how to change that pattern.
Glory.
That's not God's best. Now, He'll walk with you, just like, I mean, you guys know I'm not perfect. Dear God, a lot of churches wouldn't even let me attend, much less preach in them, because of how I am, you know. Okay, but God, as long as you're seeking after Him, no matter what, okay, say, well, my finances are a mess, Gary. I'm telling you, it's a mess, you know. Well, fine. All God's, in fact, I think I got that on here. All God's looking for is your willingness to change. And if you're willing to change, He will walk with you step by step, inch by inch, from where you are right now, lead you by the hand and pay for every step, by the way, until your circumstances are changed. Hallelujah. But He wants you faithful. See? And if circumstances are going to force you off your word, you just might as well know in the ministry it'll force you off His word. You're not yet... In fact, I got that on here. I'm getting ahead of myself. I got some good stuff on here. Stay with it. Hallelujah. Okay, that Greek word translated honest report means to be well reported of, and it comes from the root word, which means martyr. That means you would rather die than go back on your word. Many people are believing God for a mighty ministry when, according to this passage here from the Bible, they're not yet qualified to wait on tables in the church. Now, here it is. This is not a condemnation message. Everyone say, this is not a condemnation message. This is a repentance message. I was telling Tammy, I was kind of warning her. I picked her up and gave her a ride tonight. And I said, look, I'm warning you. Message tonight's tough, I'm telling you. But I said, it's really good news. Because, look, if you were intending to go to Oklahoma City, but you're really on the road to Omaha and you just don't know it, isn't it a good day when somebody says, hey, buddy, you're on the wrong road, you know? I mean, that's a good day. And then it's not a bad day. It's a good day. At least you know, oh, okay, I need to change here. We need to go this way to get to Oklahoma City. Well, if you're wanting to go towards ministry, and I know a lot of people in here are, this is a good day. If you find yourself here on the road to Omaha, fine. This is a good day. Hey, Randy. Randy got a new job, by the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Has to work a little later. I just didn't want you all in deep intercession for his backslidden and fallen condition, you know what I mean? He just got to, you got to bless God with a raise, a new job with a raise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, all God is looking for is a repentant heart that is willing to be changed. He is looking for those that will hear His wisdom and will not waver from it. Let me give you all a preview of coming attractions. I got something really good from God last week. How many of y'all like that verse in James where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering? Okay? I've heard all kinds of messages preached on that, and they're not bad. I mean, they're good, but you just know when it's not really, it hasn't quite hit the bullseye yet. Do you all want to know what that means? And I'll teach it at length here soon. I'm sure you'll let me. Won't you let me? Come on. I can't hardly wait to teach this. But anyway, what that means is, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We've always thought it meant something like this. At least this is the way I've heard it taught. If you don't know what to do, ask God and believe that He gives you His wisdom. And then act like you've got it. Isn't that pretty much it? That's not at all what that means. And the only way I got it was doing exactly what Pastor Dave says, which is read the whole book. Read the whole book. That's a short book. Read the whole book. It's one seed, really. It's not a whole bunch of stuff. Read the whole book, pray in other tongues. Read the whole book, pray in other tongues. People, the whole book, from there to the end, practically, the whole book is aimed towards these rich men. Well, in the tongue. But it's aimed towards these rich men who have knowingly rejected God's wisdom. He says in there, your laborers are working for you, and you've held back the money. How many of y'all know Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his hire? They've rejected God's wisdom. When that says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, it means if you really don't know, fine. God will show you in His Word. Most of the time, just flat in the Word of God, the answer. But the not waver part is, well, I don't think that'll work. I better do it the world's way. Now, that's the wavering part, and that's why he says about middle of the way through the book, he says, don't you know that friendship with the world is adultery? Makes you an enemy towards God? Don't you know the spirit in you is jealousy, lusteth the envy? He's wanting you to follow his wisdom, but he sees you running off like a flirtatious date with the world and listening to the world's wisdom? Over and over again in that book, the rich men have rejected the counsel of God. He says, when people come in, he says, you make a distinction between the rich and the poor. You'll tell the rich, well, sit over here at this nice table and have this prominent seat. And you tell that poor guy, go sit in the corner. We don't want to hear a word out of you. Well, why do they do that? Because that's how the rich get richer. They run with the country club set. What does the world say? You buddy up with those that can benefit you. Right? Again, they've rejected the counsel of God, the plain counsel of God, and chosen the world's way. And it's all... why? Okay, another one. He says, you've heaped up treasure for the last days, and it's corrupted and moth-eaten against you. What did Jesus say? Lay not up treasures on the earth. What are these guys doing? Heaped up treasure. They're exactly, again, rejecting the wisdom of God and chosen the counsel of the world. So when it says, Let him ask in faith. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What he means by that is once God shows you the right plan, normally from the Word, don't waver. Do it. Okay, anyway. I'll teach you that link some night. Isn't that good stuff? Hallelujah. Repent. How did I get on that? Where did I jump on that? Oh, there it is. He is looking for those who will hear his wisdom and will not waver from it. Well, God says, pay your bills. God says honest dealings. If I was to go through Proverbs and pull out all of those scriptures that says an honest and a just scale are his delight, but an unequal balance is an abomination to the Lord. What do you think the principle? What's he talking about?
Integrity.
Integrity, exactly. See, you sign an apartment lease, you know, deal honestly with these people. Okay? Hallelujah. Where was we? Now get this. He will, I'm telling you from experience, he will help you by his grace to repay every loan that you have outstanding. Now, I'm not talking about, at this lesson, if you have current loans where you're current on your payments. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about defaulting more than anything else. Where you just walked away from it, they had to repossess the car or something. Or you just left town and they couldn't find you. That kind of stuff. And I'm not looking at nobody. I don't even know if anybody in here is like that. I don't know. I honestly, God, don't know anyway. I don't know why. But I assume there's some of these problems or the Holy Ghost wouldn't be having me teach this. You know? Now, see, we got behind during that time. Y'all have heard me tell about it. I wasn't raised that way now. We pay our bills. But I'll tell you this. At this point now, nobody on earth can come to Gary Carpenter and say, I loaned you money that you never repaid. There's never been a deal like that. Now, I was behind. I got behind on some payments. I'll grant you that much. But nobody has ever loaned me money that I did not repay in full with the interest and penalties if it was required. Now, that's what God's talking about. Okay? I even told Sue at one point it looked like they were going to force us into bankruptcy. I'd already made up my mind I wasn't going to declare it. But, you know, if you get far enough behind, they can force you into it. I said, if they force me into it, at the settlement, whenever it's over, I'm going to get a list of every outstanding balance on every debt we owe, and if it takes till I die, I'm going to send them $5 a month and pay on it the rest of my life. I will not die a debtor. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you prove yourself faithful in the handling of unrighteous mammon. God's watching that. Did you see that verse up there? He says, if I don't find you faithful in that, you think I'm going to promote you to the true riches in the ministry? Mm-mm. Hallelujah. Y'all say, I'm real glad I came tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where was I? He will help you by His grace to repay every loan that you have outstanding. And that's the kind I'm talking about. He will cause you to prosper if you will hearken to the wisdom He has already revealed in the written word. And if you will spend time with Him by praying in the Spirit, and then just obey the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives you. Now get this. There's no such thing as a cash shortage with God. There's no such thing as a cash shortage. God can send one angel and whisper in one person's ear and have them bring you $500,000 check before sunrise. There is no cash shortage with God. Here's the problem. There is an obedient shortage among His children. If most of you got $500,000 now, if most of us got $500,000 tonight, I wonder how long it would be till they saw us on all day prayer day the next time at the prayer center. You know, Pastor Dave is right when he teaches that. He says, your loyalty to God is much more challenged in times of prosperity than it is in times of hardship. I mean, when times are rough, man, yeah, we'll find you down there praying and calling out to God. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, you know. You know, save me, God. I believe you, God. Help me. I'll serve you forever. You know, you get that $500,000 check. Oh, I don't know. This bed just feels so good this morning. I just don't really think I feel like going down to all-day prayer today. You know, suddenly the pressure's off. We'll find out. We'll find out. Everybody will know about your loyalty. Yeah. Well, and we've had that happen, yeah, in a small... Now, we haven't had a $500,000 check yet. Yet. Yeah. Yet. Okay. Yeah. But when we went through that really bad time, I mean, you know, you didn't find us not there. Okay? Every service, everything, praying, crying, making my confessions, you know, doing everything. Then when the pressure eased off, y'all remember that graph that I taught? Remember on the power... We closed on that rent house, and one day we owed all this money, and the next day we were debt-free. Well, my confession time slacked off. We didn't miss any services, and we still went to pray. But those hours of walking the floor and confessing the Word, suddenly I just didn't really think I needed to do that anymore. Those of you that saw the chart, y'all remember what happened. Our money went in the toilet. Okay, pretty soon we were in trouble again. Guess what? I got real diligent again. You know, it's not supposed to be that way.
That's right.
See, what God's really looking for is to change our character to the point. It wouldn't make any difference if you had $1 in the bank or $10 million. He's still Lord over your money.
Amen.
He's still Lord over your time. You're still going to pray the same. You're still going to drive the bus if that's what they ask you to do. You're still going to wait the tables if that's what Jesus wants you to do. Whatever. There is no cash shortage with God. There is an obedient shortage among His children. It's just time to make some quality decisions. Number one, from this day forward at least, no more defaulting on loans. Just no more. If you've got a loan, if you have put your name on the dotted line on a loan, bless God, say with me, just say it out loud by faith, I will repay, every loan
in full
with interest Penalties if needed.
Penalties if needed.
Till the day I die.
Till the day I die.
Okay? We're talking about that kind of a quality decision. No more conning and no more begging. My word is my bond. My word is good. Okay? I got to say this. I wasn't going to. Another thought that never went through our minds during that period of time when it did not look like it was working. Y'all have heard our testimony. I'm talking about the time when we got 3 months behind. See, one of the instructions we got from the Holy Ghost was take up no offerings. You heard that part. Sell no tapes. Send everything free. But most people forget about that fourth one, which was never let any human being know of any need that you have. See, he didn't give us the option. And the thought never entered our mind. Just, this was not an option to us to ask the church. And I'm not looking at nobody to go and ask the church for money or to ask any other human being for money. Now, if that's where you are right now, fine. See, I got to be careful. All teachers have to be careful. I don't push you out beyond where you really are with your relationship with God. For example, you can preach healing so strong that somebody will quit taking their heart medicine and die because they just don't have that relationship with the healer yet.
Right.
It's better to put them in touch via the Holy Ghost with the healer, to teach them how to pray in tongues so that they themselves get a revelation of the healer. Then when he says, you're healed now, you can quit taking your heart medicine, they can quit it and they won't die. Well, I got to be careful, see, that I don't preach this so strong. Because, I mean, everybody in here, we got people of all different ages and all different lengths of time that they've known the Lord. And I know some of you know Jesus more as provider than others, okay? He doesn't want you starving. He doesn't want you out on the street. But I am telling you, by the time he calls you into full-time ministry, by the time he does that, Sue was fully prepared to sleep under a bridge with me. We was fully prepared to lose this house, lose this car, lose everything we had, not looking forward to it, and none of you nor the church would have ever known anything about it. Because we weren't about to approach you for money or the church. I kept having these visions in my mind when I was trying to go to sleep at night. Of Sue and I, we had this little land over here with the abandoned, ugly buildings I've told you about where the scorpions are. I had visions of us sleeping over there in bedrolls. You know, the devil was doing everything he could to tell me that's what was going to happen to us if I did not go ask for help, if I did not go ask for money, if I didn't do something. I was tempted to take up offerings from you guys. And I knew that would have been violating his word too. I'm telling you again, if right now Satan can use circumstances to move you off of your word, when you get in the ministry, he's going to be able to use circumstances to move you off of God's word. You just need to understand that. By the time, I'm telling you, continue to pray in other tongues, continue to confess the word, continue to do these things so that your relationship with the provider gets to be such that the thought is incredible to you that God would not supply your needs. What kind of thought is that? See? But that only comes by knowing him. You can't get that from me. I can tell you what he's done for us. I can give you our witness. But I can't give you that relationship. Only the Holy Spirit can. So that's why Dave and myself and anybody, we say, yes, okay, learn these things. But, number one, spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Spend time confessing the Word. Because that's the only way the Holy Spirit is ever really going to create that heart-to-heart relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where you know that you know that you know He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, so far, no rocks. Hallelujah.
I don't have any.
Uh-oh. I'm not going out on the porch. There's rocks out there. Hallelujah. God rewards faithfulness. And he is watching your faithfulness with money. And in Psalms 15:4, that's a good... That whole psalm is a good one. Not that they're not all good. It's always been one of my favorites. And here's this particular line jumped out at me the first time I ever went through the Bible. And I'm sorry about the warmth in here, you guys. But it says, God honors them that fear the Lord. And here's one way you can show that you fear the Lord. How many of y'all want to show that you fear the Lord? Okay? Don't you want to show that you have respect and honor for him? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Did y'all ever buy a car that was a lemon? You know, maybe you bought it on time, okay? And it was just, after you'd had it a little while, you would to God, you'd have never signed that agreement, okay? But yet that monthly payment comes due every month, all right? Now, nowadays they have lemon laws, I think. Used to, they didn't. If you bought a lemon, you were just stuck with it, you know? Now, what do you do in a case like that? You swore to your own hurt, you changed not. You send in the payment on that ugly, damnable thing every month, and believe God that somehow you can get it fixed where you can sell it to somebody and it won't be a curse to them. Okay? Amen? But that's swearing to your own hurt and changing not. See, like, again, going back to Donna signing the lease. 2 months from now, it won't do. God's going to watch, too. It won't do for her to come in and say, you know, I really wish I hadn't assigned this apartment, signed for this apartment. That was a big mistake. I'm just leaving. You know, that won't work. I mean, it'll work in the natural. You'll get out of the lease. But you set yourself back quite a ways from whatever it is God's really called you to do. Because you did not show yourself faithful in the handling of unrighteous mammon. And also, you violated your own word. God never violates His word. Tell you what, since we're running so close, I gave it, real quickly, go on to the scripture page. And I won't comment much on these. But I just gave you enough here so you can see that, you know, again, I didn't write the Bible, you guys, you know. Here it is, Psalms 37:21, just the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and giveth. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, he's not kidding about that last part. If you right now have loans, you work for that guy. You need to understand that. If I was making a payment right now to a Bank of Oklahoma on my car, I work for them. I am servant to the lender. And as long as you're in that category of owing money, you need to understand you're their servant. That's what the Bible... Look at that. The borrower is servant to the lender. God's best is for us to prosper to the point you go pay cash for that next car. Okay? And He's well able to help you do that. All right, but if right now you've got debts, you need to understand you are their servant. You work for them, and you will be working for them till you get that paid off, and God watches that. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also, get this, in the sight of men. God is real interested in your Christian witness in front of unbelievers. God, are we tired of... I've actually heard people say, don't do business with Christians. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. And the problem is, they're true. Because somehow we've gotten greasy grace and sloppy agape to the point that people, they justify everything by grace. Well, you know, God's grace is sufficient, and it is, if you use that right. His grace is not sufficient when you come in and lie and move out in the middle of the night and leave your landlord hanging. His grace, what do you, you know, you need to get back over there and repay that thing. You are a debtor. Anyway, enough on that. Y'all got that point, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. That you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Why? That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that means the unbelievers, and that you may have lack of nothing. Hallelujah. Now get this, I like this, Hebrews 13:8, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Don't y'all like that? 1 Peter 2:11-12, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, that means your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles. God is more concerned about your Christian witness in front of unbelievers than He is the church.
Yeah.
Okay? That whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? Ephesians 4, 27 and 28. Hardly anybody ever links these two verses together, but they're there together. Neither give place to the devil. Well, if I was to preach on that tonight, I'd get a lot of hallelujahs and amens. But there's no spaces. it comes with this verse. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus. Now get this. I love this. And I thank Christ Jesus. This is Paul. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me. Why? For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Did you notice that Jesus didn't put him into the ministry until he watched and counted Paul faithful? Hallelujah. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
I'm faithful.
I abound with blessings.
Hallelujah. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that means your manner of life, be without covetousness, and that means greediness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now 1 Peter 4, verses 14 through 15. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But now get this. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. A lot of people think they're being persecuted for Christ's sake, and they're being persecuted because they won't hold a job. I'm holding this up for nobody. I can't see nobody. They're being persecuted because they won't hold a job. All they do is spend most of their time idle, gossiping, and being a busybody in other men's affairs. They're living off of the grace and charity of somebody else, and they're basically being a thief. See, I don't know how it is when people hear my testimony and they say God called them to do the same thing. I don't know how it is they miss the 2 years part, 40 hours a week with a job. I don't know how they miss that part. It's odd to me that God lets all of them bypass that. Yeah, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 2 years with a job. And then on the next page, and learning the computer at the same time. You know? I was one busy person. Okay, for 2 years. I don't know why it is. God keeps telling all these people they've got the same call, but he just lets them out of that 2 years part. I don't know how they. God's just easier on them than he was me. I don't know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. There we go again. Now them that are such, we command. Does that sound like a suggestion to you? And we exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Amen.
Again, not looking at anybody, but at one time Sue and I were judged very severely on that very verse. But the people didn't follow us around. At the time, I was still praying 8 hours a day. I was renovating that rent house. A lot of times I didn't get home till way after dark. Worked hard. Anybody that would follow me around, you'd have been ready for bed by the time you come home. I worked out there every day. But yet, because I wasn't holding a 9-to-5 job like they expected, they considered me to be one of these people and judged me very soon. Wouldn't even welcome in their house. You know, that person, by the way, is no longer at the prayer center. One thing the Lord, if you ever get judged like that, pray for them. And do not, and I'll tell you the secret, do not defend yourself.
That's right.
You have one that defends you.
Amen.
Okay? And as long as I don't retaliate the judgment, and I pray for that person, what I was hoping was that they would repent and still be here. But if they don't, they'll be gone.
Yep.
You have one that defends you. Okay? Hallelujah. Matthew 25:21, His Lord said unto him, This is Jesus. Well done, thou good and what?
Faithful
servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now let's look at some of the house. See, I don't want y'all leaving here going, well, that was really good. I wish I knew how to change. I want you to know how to change. If this is speaking to you. And I know it's not necessarily speaking to everybody here. But step one. Whatever condition you're in right now. I mean, maybe you're so far down in the financial well, you can't even see daylight at the top no more. Okay? I'm telling you what, God's able to lift you out of any pit you're in. Okay? So let's just be real and let's just start here. Step one. Your first priority, if you're in that condition, is get in the black. Okay? Get in the black on your current budget. Now, item number one. No luxury items. Do not be buying luxury items if you're past due on your payments. Walmart has all that stuff that they sell at the big mall at 71st Memorial for about a tenth the price. Sue and I, if you want to know the truth of it, during that period of time, that first year, every stitch of clothes that we had that first year, we got from garage sales. I'm still wearing a lot of them. She would buy me shirts for 25 cents, shoes for a dollar, pants for $2 or 50 cents or whatever. We lived that way for well over a year. Everything we had. I'm talking underwear on. Garage sales. Okay? She would sit here, I remember that table, covered with coupons. She wouldn't even begin to go to the store till she had done her homework, gotten the paper. By the way, the Sunday paper is the cheapest. You cannot actually, if you'll use the Sunday paper, it'll make you money. Okay? There's enough coupons. I've seen her go to the store, and what would have been like an $80 grocery bill, we come out of there for $30.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She's good. She's anointed to shop. She really is. But now, you know, that's no time to be going down buying $400 suits and $100 ties or, you know, stuff like that. Now, if you're behind on your payment, it gets worse. Watch this. Now, look. Item two, see. God expects you to eat and have gas money. I mean, you know, He knows you've got to live, all right, even while you're coming out of the pit, all right? But now it's just sin, y'all. Call it what it is. It's sin to spend another man's money without his permission. That's called it. You're a thief if you do that. If you're behind on a payment, okay, if you owe money, I don't mean that you're up to date. I mean if you're behind. You owe this guy a $100 check, and the date is passed, and you still owe it, okay? Now, in that situation, you call him up and ask him, is it okay with you if I spend part of that $100 on a new fishing rod? I'm telling you right now, that will not go over. That will not go over. And if you spend it, you stole it, because it's his money. Remember, the borrower is servant to who? You're working for who? See, it's his money. Hallelujah. Three, make a budget, you guys. Now, if you don't know how, get help from somebody who does. Boy, see, I'm glad I came tonight. This is deep, you know. Well, get help from somebody who does, you know. Basically, a budget, I mean, the first thing you got to do, you know, we're not going to teach budget class tonight, but in a nutshell, basically, you take all of your monthly expenses. That would be everything that goes out, whether it be, you know, your rent, your utilities, your gas money, your, if you got kids, there's lunch money, everything on one column. That's the outgo. And then on the other side, you list your income, net, after taxes, after tithes, okay? Net, okay? Hopefully, when you get through making that, the income side will be bigger than the outgo side. Now, if it's not, changes are going to have to be made. Y'all ever hear the story about the guy that was opening a hamburger stand? And he said, you know, he'd been operating for a little while, and a friend of his says, well, how's it going? Well, not too well right now, but, well, you know, we're going to get it straightened out. He says, well, are you making money? No, we're actually losing a little bit. Well, how much are you selling your hamburgers for? A dollar. How much does it cost to make them? $1.25. Well, how are you planning on making that up? Volume. Most people are like that and don't know it. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, right? Most people, if you was to take and add up the income side, and I would say most people, a lot of people, if you add up the income side, and you add up the outgo side, they're already losing money every month. Somehow, they think time will take care of that. No, it's going to get worse. If you're going in the hole every month, 12 months from now, you're going to be in worse shape than you are right now.
Amen.
You need to know that. Again, it's a good day when you find out you're headed to Omaha when you wanted to go to Oklahoma City. You know, make the budget. You'll find out. I mean, you're hoping to become better off financially, but you know, if you don't do that, you could be headed for Omaha and not realize it. You see what I'm saying? Okay, and if you don't know how, I mean, you know, we'll help you. There's people at the church who can help you. You know, I know a lot of people aren't good with math, and we won't tell about your finances either to nobody. But I hope you add it up. And then four, this is a big one. No pigeonholing of money between husbands and wives. Honesty is a must. I see this all the time. Listen, when God, the Bible says that He takes two and He makes them one flesh. Husbands and wives, you are no longer two people, you are one person. There is no such thing as His money and her money. There is our money. Okay, even when Sue was working, we did not have my money and her money. It all went into one account, it's our money. And we're both responsible. We are one person. We are two people that make one person. And we are both responsible for these bills. So all of it goes into one thing. Well, anyway, I won't even get into it. Y'all, is that clear enough? I mean, stop that. I mean, if you got that all divided up, stop it. You're not two people. You're one people. Okay? Anyway, step two. Become consistent with your giving and confession and the confession of God's Word. Now, first off, if you do not now give an offering, start. Give God something to work with for Christ. This is not legalistic. It's awfully hard to multiply zero. In math, 1,649,000 times zero equals zero. I don't care how big God is. He can't multiply nothing. Okay? If you're not giving Him anything, I'd start giving Him something. If right now your faith is not where you can tithe the whole tithe, now I've been talked to ugly about sometimes for saying this. I don't care. I know it's true anyway. I'm telling you, start somewhere. But be consistent with what you do. Okay? And you start somewhere. I don't care if it's $5 this week. You honor God with it. You say, God, you know this is all we've got. Because our faith is in You. We're giving You something here to multiply. Okay? But then speak God's words over it. Don't ever give without speaking God's word over your giving. There is no life in the dollar bills. The life is in the word. And when you speak the word over it, that's what activates the anointing. That's what gets the angels working in your behalf, not the giving. Okay? Hallelujah. We have a lot of tapes on that. If you've never heard that, we've got tapes on it. Ask us later and you can have them. Okay. Two, confess God's word once every Thursday. Every day. Let me ask you this. Do y'all plan on eating tomorrow? How about the day after that? How about the day after that? Okay. Would you like for your finances to be as strong as your body? How about confessing the word over it tomorrow? And the day after that? And the day after that? If you want your body, you feed your body so it will stay alive. You confess the word over your finances so your finances stay alive. If you don't do it, you're going to develop cancer of the wallet and lupus of the checkbook. I'm telling you. Now, keep your finances healthy. Speak God's word over them. Thank you. And then three, worship God as being your total provider every day. Do y'all remember that book? I hadn't even got to read it yet, but just the title alone is enough to set you free. The new little mini book of Dave's, Worship Defeats Poverty. I can give you a living witness. That is true. And I hadn't even read the book yet. But that title, I'm telling you, is true. You worship Jesus. You spend a little time every morning out of your busy day. I'm telling you, He watches it. You spend a little time. Oh, Jesus, I love You. You are my provider. Oh, Heavenly Father, You are El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that supplies all of my need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Oh, I worship You, Lord, and praise You. You do that for a little while. You watch Jehovah Jireh show up at your house. He'll flat show up. Hallelujah. Heal your wallet. Step three. Now, begin repaying any past loans that you have defaulted on. Make a list of everything you owe, especially old debts that were never repaid. Old debts. Two, take your list, once you make it, take your list to God. He knows about it anyway. I don't want to show God this. I'm embarrassed about this. I mean, I owe that person, and we moved from here to avoid that debt, and we moved from there to avoid those debts, and I don't even want to show God this. Do you think He doesn't know? You know? What are you saying? God doesn't know about that list? Make it. Take it to Him. He'll help you pay it.
Amen.
I'm telling you from experience, He'll help. Again, I'll confess my faults one to another that we may all be healed. During that time when I was disobeying God by not walking the floor 4 hours a day and confessing the Word. Remember that period of time? Y'all have heard my testimony? And we kept getting behind? I've run up a lot of charges on our credit card. Several thousand dollars. I didn't know how else to eat. I wasn't going to come. I couldn't beg for it. He says I couldn't let another human being know about it. So I did. I mean, we charged groceries. We did it very... as little as possible, but still, over several months, it amounted to quite a bit of money. Once we got it rolling, what I mean by that, once I started obeying God and things started changing, I still had that debt, you know. You know what I asked God? I asked Him if I could ask Him to pay that for me. I'll tell you what He told me. He says, to me, debts like that are like when your children are playing ball out in the backyard. And they didn't really intend to, but they accidentally knocked the baseball through the neighbor's window and broke it. He said, as long as they'll come in and tell me the truth that they did it, I'll fix the windows for them, just like you would. He says, I know you didn't intend to run up that debt. You did it ignorantly. I'll pay it for you. And I'm telling you right now, He did. Paid it off, several thousand dollars. Paid it off for us. I never had to ask a human being about it. God did it. Hallelujah. Now, when I say God did it, I never know who these tapes are going to. I don't mean God wrote a check from heaven. What I meant was He enabled the money to come into our hands sufficient enough to pay off that debt. Okay. You never know. You wouldn't believe some of the phone calls I get. You have to be careful. Okay, make a list of everything you owe, especially old debts that were never repaid. Take your list to God with a repentant heart, just like the little boy who broke the window, okay, and ask Him to help you. He will. Now look at this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and, I love this "and" part, find grace to help in time of need. Grace means His power on your behalf even when you don't deserve it. He will use His power to pay off your debts by grace. Hallelujah. It'll go quickly here. I know it's running over. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves one another hath fulfilled the law. Now, owe no man anything but to love him. How can you say you're walking in love when you've not repaid a loan that someone made to you in good faith? You tell me that's walking in love? You love this person that you're not repaying the loan to? You see? You know, the church has wondered, why haven't we prospered? Well, there's all, you know, this is part of the reason why. Okay? God will help you pay off past debts if you will ask Him and thank Him for it every day and be willing to follow whatever instructions He gives you. For example, those instructions might include get a job and pray during your evening hours. Or get a job and attend night classes to improve your qualifications. Now, in my case, I'm just using me as an example, it was a combination of all three in a way. My job, I was a truck driver, it allowed me to pray 40 hours a week in the Spirit, okay? But now, in addition to that, when I was home, I never missed a service at the prayer center. I never missed an all-day prayer, not once. You understand what I'm saying? I wanted Him to find me faithful, okay? At the same time, He was having me study horribly boring books in order to learn how to use the computer. How many of y'all have ever read the 1,200-page manual for WordPerfect 6.1? You have? Is that exciting reading? Oh, God, you know, your eyeballs want to fall out on the floor. I mean, it's you know, I mean, I hated that. God says, son, this is a part of your ministry. You got to know how to do this. Do it. So not, you know, now I'm driving 40 hours a week. Anytime the church doors are open for a service, we're down there. Every prayer service, we're down there. And in any spare time, I'm in here on the computer going through that. Okay? If I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be in the ministry today. Understand what I'm talking to you about. When you pray, and he said, I was telling Sean the other day, I said, when God starts talking back, it's not always, go cast out devils, my son. Sometimes it's, attend a class at Tulsa Junior College and learn how to type, you old flaky thing. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Now, it could be anything. But when he says something to you, he's not kidding. It's got something to do with his future plans for your life. Hallelujah. Sean says, that doesn't sound very spiritual to me. Well, it is very spiritual. All of this, now get this, because I already, all of this, okay, driving the trucks, praying 40 hours a week, not missing a service when I was in town, attending all day prayer and anything else that was going on, and learning the computer, all that went on simultaneously for how long?
2 years.
Before he ever said anything to me about full-time ministry. He watched me faithful for 2 years. And if I hadn't been faithful, he wouldn't have called me yet until I got faithful. He was watching to see if I would, I said that, if I would prove myself faithful in all these areas for 2 years. Now, here we go. A good gauge you can use to see if your character has developed to the point that God could call you full-time into the ministry. Are you willing to die before you'll beg? Now, there's a lot of preachers on TV that beg. God never called them to the ministry. You might as well know that. You might as well know that. God doesn't call beggars to the ministry. He doesn't call beggars to the ministry. Whenever they start begging, I guarantee you I will not send that one any money. Because that is a dead work. I'm telling you right now, it's a dead work. Now, it's fine to mention what you do. It's fine to tell what you're doing. And if you would like to contribute, send money. That is fine. I'm not talking about that. It's when they start this stuff. If you don't send, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to be going off the air. If you don't send in your money, I just don't know what we're going to do. Let them go off the air. Keep your money. They're not operating in faith. They, you know, they need to get a job driving a truck and pray for 2 years in other tongues. Now, are you willing to die before you'll beg? Are you still resorting to plan B by going to other human beings and asking for money to bail you out when your circumstances are real bad? If you are, that may be where you are. There's no condemnation, but I'm just telling you, you're not ready for prime time yet. You're not ready yet. Pray some more. While you have a job. There is no condemnation in that statement. It's simply intended to help you locate where you are. If that's you, then go get a job that will pay sufficiently to meet the needs of your family. And then give all of the free time you possibly can to praying in other tongues so the Holy Spirit can develop that level of character in you. That's what he does. And he's real good at it. See? He knows how to do that. And he will do it for you if you will give him the time.
Amen.
Does everyone still love Gary Carpenter?
I love Gary.
That's not a man pleaser message, is it? Now see, we should have been taught those kind of things. I really was, Ray. I was fortunate. I don't realize how blessed I am sometimes because I bless my mom and dad's Baptist hearts. Honest to God. They raised me with a good work ethic. They raised me to pay my bills. They raised me how to deal righteously with money. I didn't even have to learn a lot of these things. I just grew up with it. So when God started talking to me about teaching it here, I was going, I didn't learn that stuff in church. And he said, well, a lot of these people didn't learn it at home. But it's in my word, you know. He says, I've got to learn it or I can't promote them. Hallelujah. I don't have a confession page tonight. You just read those scriptures, you know. And I want to emphasize one more time, don't any of you leave here, you know, if this talked to you, again, I'm trying not to make eye contact with nobody. If this talked with to you, don't leave here condemned. That is not what God had in mind. God is... He wanted to get you switched from Omaha back to Oklahoma City where you're trying to get. He's trying to get you towards the ministry that he called you to. And this is a real, strong vital part of your ministry. Integrity when it comes to money. Integrity when it comes to your word. Okay? That's all he's doing. So from tonight, don't leave here condemned. Say, thank God. Thank God. I know more than I did, see?
Don't feel condemned.
Change, yeah. And if you'll ask him and give him time by praying, I guarantee you he'll just straighten it out. There is nobody in this room is in debt so much God won't pay them for you. I said pay them for you. Now he'll use you via a job or whatever, but I'm telling you, you got debts bigger than God's resources? You know, that's kind of like the people that say, well, I just can't get saved. You know, you just don't know what I've done. I've just been too bad. You're telling me that the evil you've done is bigger than the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
Well, y'all telling me the debts you've created is more than God can bail you out with?
Spiritual pride.
Yeah, I don't think so. We have cookies and coffee tonight. Shirley took the week off on pies, so. Just everyone say, I forgive Shirley.
I forgive Shirley.
I'll be praying for Shirley.
I'll be praying for Shirley.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Shirley.
We love you, Shirley.